B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, as we ask our social media followers what the hardest boss battle they've ever beaten is. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. Each week, we like to check in on what's going on with the major esports leagues, with Overwatch League, National PUBG League, and the North American LCS all in action over the weekend. We've got a ton to get to, but this week, we also have to include a bit of an FGC update because EVO 2019's lineup was just announced. Norris, let's go through this because there's actually a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, so as you guys know, the biggest fighting game tournament in the world, EVO, is
in Las Vegas.
Quickly approaching in the summertime, and they revealed their lineup for all the games that are to be played at the tournament.
Now, going into this, I think the biggest point of speculation that I saw was whether or not Dragon Ball FighterZ going to be included in the lineup, because there's an issue with Shueisha about which tournaments they're allowing Dragon Ball FighterZ to take place at.
Yeah, and there were only officially sanctioned Bandai Namco tournaments were allowed to have Dragon Ball FighterZ.
But this is EVO.
This is a whole nother planet.
You're not going to be as short-sighted as Nintendo was when they tried to pull Melee. But speaking of Melee,
that's right, guys. Ooh. There is no more Melee at EVO.
Shocking.
Shocking is the word for it. Of all the news bits I expected to get last night, like I was expecting, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, hey, if it's being pulled from EVO this year.
We saw the pattern as to why that may have happened.
Right. It's an interesting discussion. Never did I think that Melee would get the axe from the EVO
lineup.
At
least not this early. Not this early.
Maybe next year.
But I think that this is a huge show of trust in the Ultimate scene and how well it's been doing between Genesis and Frostbite and, you know, some of the upcoming major events. So I think that this is huge. And it's a bit bittersweet. I'm a bit sad to see Melee go, but I think it's time.
But on top of that, the biggest thing is that Ultimate has brought pretty much all of the Smash community under one umbrella. Mm-hmm. And that's really what sort of sets it apart from all of the other Smash games is that Melee and Smash 4 or Brawl just got completely thrown in the trash bin when that came out. But Melee and Smash 4 had to be two separate tournaments because people chose their side.
Yeah.
Ultimate came out, and even people who were playing in Melee were also playing in Smash Ultimate.
Well, I think part of that is people who play Melee also can kind of see the writing on the wall with what Ultimate was designed to do. And when you look at Ultimate, I think what they recognize is that for Ultimate to succeed, it needs to have a chance to have the spotlight by itself. It has to work without being overshadowed by Melee.
Absolutely. All right, we got to switch our focus over to the NALCS. Joe, what was going on over there?
Yeah, so first and foremost, Team Liquid coming off their first loss of the year last week. They find their footing again and roll to a 2-0 weekend with wins over Echo Fox and 100 Thieves. I know.
Come on.
Oh, it's not about to get any better for 100 Thieves, I promise you.
Oh, no.
Cloud9 and TSM both roll to a 2-0 weekend to keep the pace. 100 Thieves take an 0-2 weekend.
Man, it's really painful seeing 100 Thieves spring split right now.
It's rough, man. Golden Guardians get another win. They go to 1-1 for the weekend.
Congratulations, Golden Guardians. You have now officially earned your name back.
The Golden Guardians aren't doing better than 100 Thieves, are they?
Well, as a matter of fact, Team Liquid remains in first place at 9-1. Cloud9's in second at 8-2. TSM and FlyQuest take third and fourth place. Meanwhile, there's a four-way tie for fifth place at 4-6, which the Golden Guardians are in that tiebreaker. Meanwhile, 100 Thieves and Clutch are tied for last at 3-7.
You guys wonder why I flip-flop.
Yikes. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports Shoals 97.9 FM and 13. 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama. We're currently going through the latest standings in, you know, the NALCS. We're going to talk about NPL here in just a second. OWL still to come here in just a second. But let's actually talk about the NPL Royale that went on last weekend. This is where the NPL teams and the NPL contenders teams come together for a weekend bracket.
Yes.
For an $80,000 prize pot. The leaders of the NPL, Tempo Storm, coming in and taking that 80 grand.
Top team doing top team things.
It's true. Cloud9 coming in second on that bracket.
All right.
It was really nice to see some of these teams go head to head. It really kind of confirms why the contenders teams are the contenders teams and the NPL teams are the NPL teams.
Well, but with that said, you have a contenders team that finished third, Overconfident.
Yes, that is true. And there were some teams like Overconfident, like Mustache Dave, that looked like, you know what, they could hold their own if they moved up to the NPL.
And
again, this does not affect any standings. This was just a tournament, a one-off tournament, you know, that they do mid-season. So we'll get in next week with more standings.
Right, and to be fair, though, the point of relegation is to find those teams that are worthy of moving up. And that's what we're seeing with the contenders team, with teams like Overconfident. They might be the ones who maybe need to take those bottom slots out from underneath the main league.
You are absolutely right. So let's turn our focus over to the OWL, as much as I do not want to.
He doesn't want to because his Boston Uprising got the smash put on him by the Shanghai Dragons of all teams. They got their first win in franchise history.
In a convincing fashion,
convincing
too. This was not a fluke.
Fashion. Gamsu had the playbook in his back pocket, and they read them boys for three straight
now,
maps.
Now, to be fair, the 6 and 5 person EMPs that we saw out of Dading definitely helped.
Where were you, Robbie?
I was watching on Twitch at home. Where were you, Nate?
I was playing Fallout 76.
Well, you shouldn't have been, because you should have been there for the collective wallowing from
We were on stream together,
That's
I thought.
That's right. Actually, he was on stream, too. Yeah, he was not happy. He was not.
No. I was not pleased. I was not pleased. We were streaming at the time. You can find that in our archives over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
So, for all you Shanghai Dragons fans out there, I can relate to you in this way. I became a fan of the Detroit Lions the year they went 0-16.
That's
at the game the following year that they finally broke the winless streak.
Okay, but the problem is with that metaphor here is that the Dragons are actually looking good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they didn't even look good in their
family. But with all that said, that means there's only three undefeated teams left in the OWL. The Nixle, obviously, the Vancouver Titans, and Paris Eternal are the only teams left that are undefeated.
Can I say that that's kind of a surprise to see that many teams still being undefeated at this point in the season?
Well, something to also keep in mind with Paris, for example. They've only played two matches
They've Vancouver's only played three.
Mm-hmm.
Nixle's the only team that have played two matches for the first 2 weeks.
Right. But so you talk about teams that are still undefeated, and the Paris Eternal being one of them. Norris, you've been kind of on the fence about whether or not they were going to be your team. Here they are. They're undefeated.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're a really good team, but at the same time, they're very meta-dependent. By being the all-EU team and GOATs coming out of the EU scene, essentially, yeah, they're the best at playing the current meta right now.
What happens when GOATs tank?
What happens when GOATs shifts, when eventually the meta changes from that? That's going to be the big question.
You mean when we see Baptiste get put into the pool?
I don't even know if he would change the meta drastically.
Well, I think it's going to be a disruptor for sure.
Perhaps.
GOATs disruptor, not a breaker, but a GOATs disruptor for sure.
Perhaps.
So you're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about the OWL, the most recent weekend standings. And also, we got to talk about the Philly Fusion, because they came out the first couple of weeks and looked really strong.
Yeah.
They really had a tough week last week.
They did, especially the match against Florida. They looked like they were figured out, and they looked like about halfway through that match that they kind of ran out of ideas.
Now, to be fair, Florida Mayhem is not the same Florida Mayhem
that
we saw last season.
They have the same sort of, you know, situation that Shanghai does, where they really only have one or two players that have stuck.
One and a half?
Yeah,
they have Tevic and Saya player came through halfway last year.
Yeah, so they're a completely new team, so using the same sort of metrics from last year is not really fair. But I think a bigger story is the Hangzhou Spark.
Yeah, what happened?
Listen, I thought maybe we could just skip talking about that.
No. Everybody got touched.
You're going to have your 100 Thieves moment here, buddy.
Yeah, but here's the difference. I'm still going to be a Hangzhou Spark fan at the end of the segment. So,
Ooh.
We'll give them another season.
Ooh.
That's fair. All right, so what happened to the Hangzhou Spark?
Well, they lost both their matches.
Yeah, they dropped.
Also did not look good.
But no, it was ugly.
But did they still have the best branding in the league?
Yes.
Okay, well, then that's what we got to talk about. So overall, you know, we talked last week about how well the expansion teams were performing. Mm-hmm. How'd that hold up in week two?
Well, it held up because more than half of them are in the top eight right now and poised for playoff positioning for the stage. Vancouver, Paris, Atlanta, Toronto, and the Chengdu Hunters have all slipped their way into the top eight. And out of those, Vancouver and Paris look nigh unstoppable, at least in this stage.
Vancouver definitely looks very, very strong. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of them. I mean,
run away fighting!
It is really surprising that so many of the teams in top eight are expansion teams.
Well, and yet you mentioned the Runaways, and you had been very hopeful that this team would sign as a whole and come onto the OWL and perform well. I got to tell you how amazingly surprised I am by that. Even if they were a great team, you know, at their level last year, it's hard to come on to the professional scene and perform just as well as you did in the lower levels.
Again, this is a team that is very good at playing in the current meta, but I think they're better positioned even than Paris is to be successful if that meta changes, because they're so technically so good.
All right, well, that's where we're going to have to leave it. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we asked our social media followers this week, what's the toughest boss battle that you've ever beaten? Not that you've ever faced, but that you've ever beaten. We'll get your responses and share our own ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
This week, we're going to be talking about the aging gamer and those who just sort of grow out of it.
So we're talking about me, is what you're saying.
I don't want to name any names.
I feel personally attacked by this promo, Robbie.
You should.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask, what's the toughest boss battle that you've ever beaten? I think this is an interesting question, because like there's some pretty cheap answers that you can give.
Nate, you and I immediately have to take Dark Souls out of the equation.
Because
the answer's Capper Demon, Ornstein, and Smough.
That just seems like you're not even trying. Like you're not even trying to think of like a great boss battle.
If that is the right answer, because those might be the toughest boss fights ever done.
Yeah.
It's very uninspired.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go back to the days of young Joe. Shining Force, one of my all-time favorite games. The final boss is Dark Dragon, who is in and of himself not the most difficult boss fight to ever exist.
Okay.
However, young Joe did not like leveling up, and my characters were grossly unprepared for that battle.
Oh, you gotta get on that grind game, man.
Unfortunately, though, you had to get through a very difficult fight right before you fought Dark Dragon in Dark Soul, and I was unwilling to do that fight again because I barely beat that one. So without really getting a chance to heal everyone up, I had to go fight Dark Dragon after that, and over the course of maybe, I don't know, 4 weeks, I finally managed to beat him.
Wow.
That was rough.
That is rough.
Mine is actually technically an unnecessarily hard one. Nate, you remember our friend Dave from college, right? And his infamous infamous three heart no lens of truth Shadow Temple run.
Yes.
What? Oh. No.
Yeah. Real thing.
That is that is talented.
Watched him
real
do it. This, we're talking. This was Twitch before Twitch,
yeah,
man.
Yep. That's
this
talent.
Was like you had a crowd of people around you in the common area playing on the big TV that were cheering you on. It was really cool.
So a few years ago, I had actually gotten out the old 64, and when I got to that point, wanted to give it a try. So I hadn't been picking up any heart containers. And what took me, I didn't even know how long it took.
You tried it?
But Joe, like you, it was over the course of a few weeks, just going back here and there and here and there. And eventually, now let me tell you, when you finish that, you don't feel like the god that you should. You're just like, wow, I got really lucky. That's all it really is.
That's what it was. Is like, okay, I've gamed out the AI enough to win. And that's it. I got lucky.
Wow.
Yep.
Norris, what about you?
Well, for me, it's actually a couple ones. The first one goes all the way back to Armored Core 2. And at the very, very top of the arena, there's a raven you have to fight named Ares. And unless you have the very best beam rifle, the very best beam sword, and like the top boosters and energy stuff that you can get in the game.
And you're lucky and you're good.
You cannot beat this particular character.
Norris, I'm half tempted to call you out for cheating because while you didn't pick a Dark Souls game, you did pick another From Software game. That said, I know how hard that arena is, and I'm gonna allow it. I'm gonna let this one go because I never got past like rank 20.
Fair enough.
That was a really difficult one. And the second one, really quickly, it wasn't necessarily a hard fight, but you also had to fight everybody else, including your party, was the Archangel fight from 11.
Oh, yeah. Final Fantasy 11 had some legendarily difficult and long fights. For me, I have to say, the very first time that I played Metal Gear Solid on hard, the original Metal Gear Solid, Raven presented the most trouble for me. Both fights, both the tank fight and the fight, because you just have so little HP and he is such a brute, and he will, it's really just like you mess up once and you're dead.
Yeah.
And I always remember that was one of those that took a while.
Yeah.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. We're currently going through our social media question, which was, what was the most difficult boss fight that you've ever completed? And before we get to your responses, we've got to hand it over to Voice of the People, Sarah. What was the most difficult boss fight that you ever completed?
So there's this little game called Undertale, which at first you think is all happy and cheery, and then you fight Sans. And that broke me.
Sans is rough.
And it was hard because I was trying to record it for YouTube, and I was in grad school and had a roommate who did not like me recording except on weekends. So I think it took me over 20 hours total, and there was crying involved.
It was bad.
If not for that, I knew you were going to say Sans. That would have been mine too. Sans is a ridiculously difficult fight.
All right, well, let's take a look at your responses from social media.
Over on Facebook, Mike says, Ozma from Final Fantasy IX.
Yes.
Took so long my first time, then years later played it through again and beat it in roughly half an hour.
How is that possible?
That's I can't beat it, boss.
I can't beat it now. I beat it once when I was younger. I can't beat it anymore.
Even now, with all the preparation and all the grinding, Ozma is still like the real end boss of that game.
Way harder than Necron.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kevin says, Seymour at Mount Gagazet. I was low level. His autopilot attack when he got low was wrecking me.
Seymour at Gagazet is legendary.
That zombie debuff. Mm-hmm.
That's a choke point for a lot of people. A lot of people quit at that point.
In a game of not difficult boss fights...
That's true.
That was one.
Once you passed him, the rest of it was easy.
Yeah, spoilers, guys. Summoner cheese.
Yeah.
That's true. Yep. Here's the Final Fantasy is pretty that's a series that has some legendarily difficult fights, right? Like some of the weapons.
Mm-hmm. Ruby weapon,
Emerald
Diamond
weapon. When you didn't know what the air tram attack really meant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ultima and Omega and FF8 are insane.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Over on Twitter, Zeladoria says, Andross, Star Fox 64. First time I got to him, I had to pause to eat dinner, and then we had a power surge. Took me another 4 months to get back to him since the game had no save.
Wait a minute. Was he doing true Andross or fake Andross?
I think he's talking true Andross.
True Andross, the brain battle at the end. That one's pretty rough. Yeah, that being a tough fight.
I didn't find that fight that hard.
Really?
True Andross? I didn't find true Andross that hard.
Oh, just humble brag all over the segment, Norris. Okay. Mr. Too Cool for School.
I'm just saying.
Ravmall says, does catching Lugia and Pokemon Gold count? I remember taking me weeks when I was a kid between accidental kills, running out of balls, and needing new batteries. I could still remember catching it at my aunt's house. I may have screamed.
You know what? I think
Catching Mewtwo, catching Lugia.
Yeah, really just Master Ball Mewtwo.
Well, here's the thing, is that I think it was in Gold and Silver, you started to really have a lot of legendaries and mythicals.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. The dogs.
Yeah, really at Gen 3 it started to get crazy, but you still only had one of those Master Balls, so you really had to make that choice matter.
My first playthrough, I didn't realize that I was only ever going to get one, and I used it on the first bird that I saw.
Yep. See, here's the thing. In Gold and Silver, my move was always to use it on the one dog that would just auto-run every time.
Yep.
I thought that was all the dogs would do that.
One of them, it was way worse
Raikou
than the
was very
other.
Bad
Raikou,
for it.
Because
Raikou.
He has speed.
Yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what
he
it was.
So much speed.
Yep.
Over on Instagram, Edison says, Mike freaking Tyson.
Oh!
Great answer.
From Punch-Out.
Yeah. We have a winner.
That is going old school. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Dave Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.